Right, AOCBs, Lorraine, you want to go first?
Yes, please. I think I just had a couple of things. Jonathan, I know we had talked about it before, but is it possible to look at getting a bin near the caravan site before the entrance, yeah, or just somewhere there, just to stop all the big pile of dog poo bags,
right, okay,
accumulating again?
Yeah.
That would be handy.
Yeah.
Just to have a bin somewhere, yeah, near the top of the steps.
Yep.
There would be good. And obviously I had emailed John. I know there was a lot of really unhappy people, and you know, people were really annoyed about the closure of the road, Creef Road, over the weekend. I think more so because they hadn't been told about it. People didn't seem to know anything about it. I don't know that the community council had received any notification about it.
There's,
I know,
nothing
a couple
at all,
of the businesses were, who were there right at the corner, hadn't been notified about it. It was just a kind of, I know the council grant these things, but you know, where is the things advertised for people to see locally?
There are a couple of websites where you can see any roadworks for Scotland. I forget their names, to be honest, so I can give it to Victor. He can maybe put it in the minute or something like that. It's one of these things. Obviously, the permissions are granted on a certain basis, if you like, about lettering, residents affected, and such like. I have asked questions to find out what they were supposed to do, and then find out if they'd actually done any of that. But I know that I've had copies of the letter that was issued to residents in Creef Road, which wasn't particularly helpful. It didn't actually say where the closure was going to be, other than the fact it was on Creef Road, but it didn't say where or when specifically. And it also had a reference to Kenmore Street for some reason on it. I'm not quite sure why, but I do know that some of the businesses were part of the repair was to the main, and in order to repair it, they obviously had to switch water off. But I know that they hadn't also notified everybody who was going to lose their water for, I don't know, 5 or 6 hours or however long it was going to be off for. So I'm not quite sure what went wrong with that either. But I have asked the council and Scottish Water to look into it and come back to me. But they've not come back yet.
Yeah, because it seems to have all kind of cropped up suddenly and been, you know, the council are obviously granting these things, but the council ensuring that, you know, people are saying, no, we're going to notify residents, and we're going to, surely they've got to put up public notices and things to have it advertised locally. You say there's a website, but people aren't just, as a matter of course, going on websites to check road closure. Surely it's got to be advertised locally, not on social media, but, you know, out there in the public domain to give people notice.
Yeah, I mean, there are sort of probably a number of recognised ways that they are required to do it, and they may have complied with these. I'm not sure, and that's why I'm checking to see exactly what they should have done. What they didn't have, as far as I could see, was any signs that says, you know, road closed here on such and such a date, maybe 4 or 5 days beforehand. The problem, obviously, was that there is no alternative route to bypass a road closure at the junctions.
Manesh was open, and so was the school.
Well, the school, yeah, there's a road through the campus.
One way.
It does have a no entry at the other end.
Yeah, but nobody was paying attention to that.
Well, I know that, and that's, you know, that's a different kind of situation. But the campus certainly didn't want, you know, log lorries and buses and cars and all that cutting through the school when the kids were in. I can understand that. Maness, likewise, probably would not be wanting folk taking a shortcut through the hotel grounds to get to Aberfeldy. So the official route, I think I've said this before, if you close an A-class road, your detour has got to be by A-class roads as well. But as it turned out, there was no alternative route to get into Aberfeldy. Anyway, So it's a difficult one. And sometimes they ask for road closures and they don't actually want to fully close off the road. They will maybe close it for a short period of time, or they can have a single lane of traffic and a kind of stop-go sign to get vehicles around. But the position of the hole, which was right in the middle of the road, right at the junction, meant that you couldn't actually turn into that street anyway. So it was unfortunate, and as with a lot of these things, the problem seemed to be a lack of proper communication leading up to things, so that folk were aware of what was happening. So again,
if they're saying they're going to do A, B, C, and D to get their road closure granted, do the council not then check that they've done A, B, C, and D?
To be honest with you,
they've said they'll do it, but.
Yeah, I don't think they will, because we're dealing with hundreds of these things every day, to be honest with you. You know, and it's very much up to the companies, I think. We probably do make certain things, but I don't think we can actually go and knock on doors and say, have you had a letter? You know, but part of the problem, I think,
when these companies are sending out letters to residents and to businesses and advertising it,
well, they don't. They go and deliver them by hand.
You know, they would have to submit a copy of these to the council at the same time. It just seems a bit, I don't know.
They deliver letters by hand.
Doing what they like.
Yeah, the letters were delivered by hand, as far as I'm aware.
I see Alistair's got his hand up here.
Yeah. You're on mute, Alistair.
Yeah, sorry, I was just trying to find the unmute button there. I do see that listed on the current and proposed temporary traffic restrictions, which we get a copy of and is published on the council website on a weekly basis. So I get that it is difficult. You don't necessarily go looking for that, but it was with the diversion routes and the days and the restriction types on the current and proposed temporary traffic restrictions published by the council. So it has been on there.
So John is chasing things up at the council end to see what actually happened. So shall we move on? I'm just aware of time still. Elaine?
Uh-huh.
Anything from you, AOCB?
No, nothing, thanks.
Jean?
No, I don't have anything either.
Val?
Nope, nothing.
Anything from you, Pat?
No, nothing that I particularly want to raise. Thank you very much.
Well, Bill?
No, thank you.
Alistair?
I wondered if I could get some more information of those who did have power outages or have outages from their mobile networks, because whilst we're on the meeting, I've just done some investigation, and it says that all mobile sites should have ample power provision for UPS to power all of their mobile network equipment on site, whether it's whilst the on-site generator kicks in. Secondary sites in rural locations and info transmitters in urban areas have batteries to cover shortfall blackouts, but no generators. So I'd be interested to know which networks were actually out, because that was the information that I thought was correct, that mobile networks should not go down if there is a primary power outage. So it'd be interesting to know which networks weren't actually up and running, because the resilience of the sites, both from the provider and the sites, suggests that generators should be there. And for those sites that don't have generators, then rural locations will have info transmitters in urban areas, which will have batteries to cover shortfall blackouts. So
we O2 and Vodafone, and neither of them working.
Yeah, I'm O2 as well.
I think most of them seem to be out. I'm on 3, and I know 3 was on because I had phone signal, and EE were on, but I think it seemed to be mostly everybody else was out.
I'm Vodafone and I was out.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, well, I'll continue a bit of that as well, yeah.
I was out on O2 and it didn't come back till about 5 o'clock on the Monday.
5 p.m. Monday. Okay, I'll continue to look at that with my contacts. Okay.
My EE network held up okay.
Yeah.
I don't have a smartphone though, so maybe that is was an advantage. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
you live, Victor. I think you'd have picked up the transmitter mast, which is a bit to the east of Aberfeldy, up the hill, and I think that remained okay throughout. It is the masts which serve from the west, which were out. Mm. That's my view. I hope that's helpful, Alistair.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you. I mean, it's more of a comprehensive note, so I might share that with you prior to the next meeting.
Okay, I think that's everything, is it?
Yep.
So our next meeting is on Tuesday, the 1st of February. So I'll get together with Val, John, Pat, maybe a few others, and do a bit of a debrief on the resilience plan during January, and we'll report at that meeting.
Okay.
If the thing does kick off, if COVID gets worse or there's problems with Hogmanay or whatever, we can potentially convene a wee Zoom meeting too, if necessary. But as things stand, I guess it's Merry Christmas to people and see you on the 1st of February.
Andy, yeah.
Thank you. All the best.
Thanks.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Good thanks, night. Everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Okay. Cheers now.
Bye.